Hello. Hello. Is it on? Hey man, good evening. I hope you had a wonderful day. I hope you've got a little bit of energy left for our class tonight. I must say, over the last couple of weeks, the series on integrity has been so good for me. I think hearing Vanna speak about you and I sort of becoming whole, you and I becoming integrated, you and I sort of growing and maturing to become the men and women that God needs us to be and wants us to be. I think that has been so good for me to be able to reflect on my spiritual growth. So really what I want to talk about tonight is a continuation of your theme, if you may, but it's all about spiritual growth. But before we continue, why don't we just go to God in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much that we can be together tonight. I thank you that you have called us out of darkness and your wonderful light. God, thank you that you do not only know us, Father, but you want what is best for us, God, and you understand what is best for us. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, a Father that leads us and guides us and convicts our hearts. And I want to pray tonight that it will be a Spirit-filled time, Father, that as I open up your word, as I share some thoughts, Father, about spiritual growth, that you will be able to move our hearts, God, that you'll be able to help us be a church and that is continually growing and maturing, Father, not just as individuals, but also for us as a church, Father, we can go from strength to strength and that we can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray for everybody's hearts in here. Father, help us to make wonderful decisions as we walk out of here tonight, thinking about our own spiritual growth and our own spiritual lives. Thank you for this time. I pray in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. For us to get started, I think I want to say this, that you and I are designed to grow. Yeah, you and I are basically, I think, God has sort of made it part of our absolute DNA, absolute part of our fiber, part of our fabric, for us to grow as human beings. It is completely natural. It is completely normal for us to be growing. So, you know, and I think you see it in many different areas of life. I think probably the best way where you see it is with little kids. Now, I'm always amazed, you know, sort of seeing some of my friends' kids growing up, seeing how they can go from lying flat down on their face to sitting up, to crawling or sort of holding on, supporting themselves, crawling, and then all of a sudden giving their first step. Now, it is always amazing to be able to see how that process happens. You know, them mumbling, jumbling about Google Gaga and you can't really make out what they say. And then you start seeing the parents interpreting the words that they say in the hope that it's maybe their name or it's maybe mom or maybe dad. And then they say their first word. Yeah, and I think as a parent, you all understand this better than anyone else, that you can definitely influence their growth. You can probably create an environment that facilitates growth, but you can't force it to happen. They are basically designed to grow. And that is the way that God has made us. It's part of our makeup. I don't know in your household, but in my household, what we used to do as my sister, myself, she's 2 years older than I am, is we would play different games, sort of doctor, patient, school teacher, and pupil. My sister would take our Maltese poodle, poor soul, dress him up in a baby grand, push him around in a pram with her wearing lipstick and my mom's dress. Now, you've got to ask yourself, what is that all about? And I think it's all about this thing called growth. That as kids, we have this inherent desire inside of us to grow. We can see the picture of who we want to become. We can see it clearly for ourselves. And we basically sort of play these games, reenacting it. But growth is completely normal and completely natural for us. I think I also want to say that even though growth is normal and natural for us, God also desires you and I to grow. Now, it is His heart's desire. And again, the parents, you would understand this so well. I am fascinated to see the amount of sacrifice that parents would go through to help their kids to develop properly. See them buy educational toys, boy, with many rands. Send their kids off to speech therapists or giving them the best coaches. to be able to help them grow and develop their skills and their talents. I mean, you desire this so badly for your own kids. How much more does God desire it for us? You know, if you and I know how to desire growth for our kids, how much more our perfect Father in heaven? You know, God desires, He has designed us to grow, but He also desires for every one of us to be continually developing and definitely to be growing, and definitely to be growing spiritually. So I think the question then is not necessarily how can I grow? Because I believe if the environment is right and if the conditions are right, growth is completely natural. It's not necessarily inevitable. We'll definitely talk about that. It takes some of the things from us. But the question is not how can I grow. I think the question more is what are some of the barriers preventing you and I from growing? What are some of the obstacles in your life and in my life that is sort of a stumbling block causing us not to mature in the way that God desires us for us to mature? So really that's what I want to talk about tonight, and I think share with you tonight is probably two of the greatest barriers for me in my spiritual growth and my spiritual life. So you might feel, boy, that really hits home for me. I don't know what your barriers is, but hopefully tonight this will be able to spark your mind to figure out what are some of those stumbling blocks? What are some of those things preventing me from maturing the way that God has designed me and desired me to mature? The first obstacle barrier for me, definitely in my life, the number one, the greatest obstacle is hurry. Hurry. Have a look in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Now, this is a very familiar passage to many of us. It's Jesus telling the parable of the sower. And many of us know it, where a farmer really goes out and scatters seed as he goes along. Some of it falls on the road, the hard road. Some of it falls on a rocky soil. Others fall in thorny soil, and others fall in good soil. And obviously it has a very different result depending on the soil that it falls in. Where we're going to pick up here is where Jesus explains the meaning of this parable in verse 11. It says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a little while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart, who hears the word, retain it, and by persevering produces a crop in their lives. Yeah, it's a great parable, and I think so many times I've read this, and I've wanted to believe, I've so desperately wanted to be the good soil. I wanted to be the one that the Bible describes, the person with a noble and a good heart, who hears the word of God, boy, they meditate on it, they retain it, and through perseverance, they produce a crop. They are someone that is continually growing and maturing in their spiritual lives. But every time I read the parable myself, I realize that I'm not that individual. Now, I don't know which soil you are, but I think the one that most accurately describes my spiritual life most often is the third one, the rocky soil. Because in verse 14 it says, it's the seed that fell among the thorns, it stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature the way that they should. And as I read that, I think, boy, that is such an accurate description of my spiritual life very often. Where, boy, I come to church, I go to small group, I sit in a Bible talk. I even have the opportunity to teach other people the Bible. You know, so I have all these opportunities to hear the Word of God and teach the Word of God. And oftentimes what happens, you know, I'm in this incredible environment of spiritual growth, but then life comes my way.
where as I go on my way, as I do life, you know, it chokes the Word of God and I don't mature the way that I could or that I should and the way that God desires. You know, life generally can be a very big barrier to spiritual growth. I don't know if it's that way for you. But, you know, sometimes I'm desperate to mature. I want to grow. I really, really do. And then kind of life happens. You know, and life comes my way and I get anxious and I get distracted and I get hurried and I get rushed. And boy, all of a sudden, my heart starts stagnating and I don't grow spiritually. You know, Dallas Willard, which is a Christian author sort of on spiritual growth, says that hurry is the greatest enemy of our spiritual growth in our day. Hurry is the greatest enemy to spiritual growth in our day. And he proposes that, boy, if we want to thrive, if our souls want to flourish, if we want to do well spiritually, the thing that you and I need to become good at is we need to be able to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. You know, there is a difference, though, between being hurried and being busy. I think life at the best of times are busy. I think all of us are busy. You know, boy, just keeping the boat afloat, paying the bills, looking after kids, passing exams, waking up for work, not even talking about work, just somehow getting up again for work, keeping in shape, maintaining friendships, developing new friendships. Boy, you think about life, and it is a very busy place, regardless of the life stage that you're in. Life is a very busy place, but being hurried is a condition of the soul. You know, when I am hurried, I could be busy, but when I am hurried, I am unable to be fully present in a moment. I am unable to be fully here with you right now if I'm hurried in my heart and my soul. You know, I get preoccupied when I'm hurried with things. My mind starts drifting off. You know, where I might be in a conversation with someone, but I can't exactly hear what that person says. You know, I will walk away and I think, geez, what just happened here? It's kind of that the lights are on, but no one's at home. You know, you feel like you're on this continual treadmill going from place to place, but you can't enjoy any given moment. That is what happens when your soul and your heart is hurried. So there's a big difference between being busy and being hurried. All of us are busy. All of us are squeezed by time. But boy, the greatest enemy to spiritual growth is having your soul being hurried in life. Being the third soil, being choked by the world's worries. You know, I think hurry is sort of a common sickness of our day and age. And you know that you struggle with the sickness when you are driving in your car, and as you sit in your car, you're approaching a red robot. And in approaching the red robot, there's sort of two lanes with one car in each lane. And as you approach the red robot, you're already estimating in your mind, based on the make, model, and year of the car, standing in the lane, which car is going to get off there fastest. Because God forbid if you are stuck behind the slowest one and sort of lose, you know, valuable seconds. Then you know you struggle with a sickness. Also, the way that you know is if you go shopping at Pick n Pay or Checkers or Spa, and after you've done your shopping, you're about to pay for your groceries at the till, and as you approach the lines, you basically start counting how many individuals are on every single line before you make your choice. Now, you know that you are really, really sick when you not only do that, but as you make your choice and as you get into your line, line A, you identify a person in line B that would have been you if you picked that lane. And then you think to yourself, I'm going to keep track of that individual. And lo and behold, if they get to the door before me, I'm depressed for the rest of my day. Because I lost the hurry game. Now, just a quick show of hands. Who has felt that way a little bit? And all right, anyway. I thought maybe it's just a barrier for me, but And I think in our day and age, this is the greatest enemy to spiritual growth. It's not being busy. All of us are busy, but it's this thing where our souls are hurried. I need to get ahead. Your mind is not engaged. And here's the thing that I realized, because I struggle with this. Even this morning, you know, I was sitting preparing for this message. I think maybe working on this actual very point. Jeremy and myself are sitting, having sort of a cup of coffee, and he's asking me questions. And in my heart, I think, dude, can you just kind of, you know, get going, say what you want to say, ask what you want to ask. I need to get going. This is before 6 in the morning. This is my flatmate. I got the whole day in front of me. And lo and behold, I actually told him, look, you need to quiet down now. I need to work. You know, ask him. So I know this. I struggle with this. You know, and the thing that I realized is this, is that you simply cannot engage with God if you are hurried. It is impossible to engage with God if your soul is hurried. You cannot do it. I think that's why it's so important for us in the kingdom. You know, you cannot do anything worthwhile. You cannot be used by God. You cannot grow the way that you should if your soul is hurried. I remember so clearly for me at Ackerman's, sort of, you know, years ago, it's such a familiar place for me, where I would sort of fly off to Johannesburg to facilitate a workshop there, a two-day workshop, and I would wake up in a hotel room at 4 o'clock in the morning, because of the pressures of the previous day. I woke up at 4 to prepare for the workshop that's taking place that day. And as I sat there reading my Bible, I would read passages over and over again, and basically scriptures would go in one ear out of the other ear. Because as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking about what happened yesterday, and what's happening today, the knowledge that I need to share with the class, how I'm going to facilitate it. And then I think to myself, goodness, okay, let me leave my Bible. Let me actually get out there praying. Maybe that will help. And then I go out praying. And the only thing I can think about is what needs to take place today. And I think, you know what I'm going to do is I'm only going to pray about the things that I'm anxious with. Maybe that would help. And as I start praying about that, I think I need to stop praying and actually get around to doing some things. Yeah, but this was a familiar condition of my heart. And then I thought, you know, thank goodness I'm going into full-time ministry. Because one of the perks, surely, is that I would be growing and maturing spiritually. That would be a given. I mean, here I am. I get to read my Bible and pray. You guys pass for that. I get to share, you know, the Bible with other people and help them get converted. What a great environment. But what I realized is that it's not a given. If I do not eliminate a hurry from my heart and my soul, I can do whatever I want. God cannot work in us. The Word cannot penetrate our hearts as it should. We cannot connect with God in prayer as we should. Because you're not fully present. It is a great illusion. I think a couple of traps when it comes to hurry and knocking down this barrier and this obstacle that prevents us from growing. I think one of them, that definitely being in the corporate world, which I did, is I thought to myself, look, it's just these next 2 days. It's just this project. You know, if I get through this project, if I get through this time, if I grow and I figure out how to meet the demands better, when things settle down, then I'll get back to being connected with God again. Then I'll get back to being plugged into God again. Now, let me tell you what I realized. Do you know when your life is going to settle down? Is the day you die. And I think, boy, on that day, our life is drastically, drastically going to slow down. But until then, amen, yeah, I see some agree with it. But I think until then, the reality is that's a myth. That's an illusion. If you think, boy, I just got to get through this. It's okay for me to compromise my time with God. That is the source of my spiritual growth. I can compromise right here. I'll get back to it when things settle down. It is an illusion. Do not buy into that. It is a trap that will keep you stagnant or harden your heart. I think the other myth that we need to watch out for is that the reason why I am hurried is because I am a disciple of Jesus. Is if I was not a disciple, my life would actually be a whole lot less complicated. I didn't have to come to church on Sundays. I wouldn't have to get up an hour and a half, 2 hours before everyone else, before my colleagues to read my Bible. There wouldn't be small group, there wouldn't be Bible talk, there wouldn't be this, there wouldn't be this social event. Sometimes, you know, we could get into sort of a worldly mindset and we think that the very things that is the source of our spiritual growth is actually the things making us hurried. And if you read the Bible properly, Jesus was never hurried. He was a mega busy guy. And there were many needs around him, but he was always able to respond in the moment, in the kingdom, with an unhurried soul. So do not fall into the trap to think I am hurried because I'm a disciple of Jesus. Then you are doing something wrong. All of those different things, coming to church, being part of a small group, reading your Bible and prayer, connecting there, is sources of your spiritual growth. Those are the things that are injections. God is the ultimate source of your spiritual growth. Do not compromise on Him. And we need to figure out how can we knock down this barrier of having a hurried soul. I don't know if it's a barrier for you, but maybe it is. The second barrier here for me, and I think it's in orders of importance, that's definitely the greatest obstacle, being hurried. The second one is trying to change and grow. I think one of the myths that I bought into when I became a disciple concerning spiritual growth is that it is inevitable. It is automatic. So I would walk around in the fellowship, and maybe some of you still do it. I would walk around in the fellowship, and the question that I would ask you, the people, is how long have you been a disciple? Because that was my measure of spirituality. I just need to ask them that. Boy, and then someone would say, 5 years. And as they say it, I could see the lights shining on their face. I can see they are on their way to be a spiritual giant. 5 years. I thought to myself, boy, how well am I going to know my Bible in 5 years? How great is my prayer life going to be in 5 years? Boy, I am fired up right now. Can you imagine the 5 years from now? And then I go to someone else and they say, I've been in this for 10 years. I think, man, this guy's Jesus in the flesh. Because that was my measure of spirituality. As I would merely ask because my assumption was that it's a given. I just need to hang around and I would grow spiritually. Now, I feel very embarrassed to share that because that is quite a dumb assumption to have. Maybe you still have it. It's okay. So, you know, that's fine. But I do believe that there is something worse than believing what I believe. And that, I think, is if you try to change and grow. Because at least if you're not doing anything, boy, if you're not putting in any effort and there's no growth, you don't have to go very far to answer the question, why am I not growing? I'm not doing anything. But when you try and you don't get the results that you expected, what starts happening? Is you get discouraged. You start getting frustrated. Yeah, because you're putting in a little bit of effort, you're trying at least to change, and you feel like, you know, I just want to give up. You know, the Bible actually demands us to do something a little bit more than trying. Have a look in 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Says His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is a pretty cool passage. In verse 3 there, it says, it's a very familiar passage about spiritual growth. In verse 3 it says that God has given us everything through His divine power, through Jesus. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us Jesus' example. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us His Word. He's given us a multi-talented church where there are individuals that have different strengths and weaknesses that you can learn from. He's given you small groups. He has given you everything you need to grow spiritually, to do well in love, in life and godliness. Now, but then it says there, it would be a mistake to assume because God has given us everything we need, because God is our partner through the Holy Spirit, helping us to grow, that all we need to do is sit and wait. It says, for this very reason, because God has given us everything we need, because He is so committed to our growth spiritually, it says in verse 5, it says, for this very reason, therefore, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And then it goes through the list. Now, isn't the Bible just incredible? That God says, because of my commitment to your growth, because of the promises and because of my delivering on those promises, because I've given you everything that you need, and because I can see who you would become if you just grow spiritually, therefore, make every effort. Do everything you can to grow spiritually. Have these qualities in an increasing measure. See, God knows what is best for us. I think God sees the picture of who you could be if you are fully you, if you are fully growing spiritually, who you could be better than you and I can ever see it. And because of that, I think because He sees that picture, boy, He is continually saying, come on, just grow. Just put in some effort from your side, not just some effort. Make every effort from your side to be able to grow. I can see the picture. It is great. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, it says, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now, the Bible says, boy, it is a good idea for you and I to look after ourselves physically. It is a good idea to take out a Planet Fitness or a gym contract, whatever it might be, and to go there and to do some training. That is a good idea. That is a noble thing. That has some value. But then sort of the passage comes in and says, you know, if you want to give all of your heart to something, if you want to make every effort, if you want to pick something to throw all of your energies into, do it for growing and training yourself in godliness. Because that has value for all things. Holding promise for both the present life and the future. See, God says, because I understand the value that spiritual growth has for you, I want you to make every effort. Because I understand the benefits that it has for you, just do something from your side. It is totally worth it. Yeah, but God gives us the responsibility to train ourselves in godliness. We have to do our part. And I think every effort would mean different things for different people. I think all of us have a different character makeup. All of us have different personalities. All of us are at different stages of our lives. So every effort to grow spiritually would mean very different things for every one of us. So I think let go of trying to compare yourself to what every effort means for someone else. That is a feeble thing to do. Don't do it. But I do think generally there are some things that makes it very clear whether someone is making every effort to grow spiritually or not. I think one of those things for me is it's someone that is intentional about spiritual growth. Intentional. Meaning that they are not passive waiting for God to transform them. They are not passive waiting for life to kind of develop them, they are intentional about going after spiritual growth. They have a sense of self-awareness, knowing, boy, these are the things that I want to work on. These are the weaknesses that I would like to develop. These are the things that I'm going after. And I don't mean setting up some things at the beginning of the year and checking it again at the end of the year. Someone who's working with a plan to be able to do their part as God does His part to grow spiritually. I think also it's someone that prays consistently about that specific thing that they want to grow and change. And also ask others to pray for them about it. I mean, if you want to know what makes someone's heart tick or what someone has really great desire about, is listen to their prayer life. And let me tell you, someone that is making every effort, that is wholehearted and growing spiritually, they'd be continually praying about these different areas that they would like to grow in. And also, they'll be pulling in other prayer warriors saying, look, I need some intercession here. I need you to pray for me in this specific area. And not because that's just sort of a Christian spiritual thing to do, but really because they believe it in their hearts. So it's praying consistently about it. I think it's also someone that makes every effort for me is someone that's asking a whole lot of questions about the area that they want to change with people that they feel can actually help them. So it's not just asking questions for questions' sake, but it's going after people that they feel either has it as a strength or either has developed or have grown in that specific area that they would like to grow in. That is a clear sign of someone that's making every effort. Someone that reads a lot about the topic, has studied it out in the Scriptures, has memorized Scriptures on it, has read devotional books on it. It is someone also that desires to be held accountable for growth. Saying, you know what, even though God is a great partner, even though the Holy Spirit is there, and even though the Scriptures are there, I need some outside input as well. I need some people to help me, be accountable. So it's not someone that, it's someone that goes after accountability. It's someone that desires accountability. I think those are some general things that I think makes it clear whether you are making every effort or not. Now, what I want to ask you tonight is how is it going? What is the level of effort that you are making to grow spiritually tonight? Do you view it the way that God views it? Do you view it that spiritual growth is an absolute necessity for you and I? Do you view it as God, where He says, I want to give everything to this. I want to set you up completely for success. Do you view it that way or not? And I think we will never get there if we're on cruise control. We will never get there if we are trying to change. It's going to take every effort. And every effort, I want to say again, will be very different for every one of us. We're at different places. We have different makeups. And I think the great thing about God, and this is something that I've realized as well in the Scriptures, and when it comes to spiritual growth, is God's requirement of our effort level is always directly related to how much He believes that specific thing would be of value to us. God's requirement of our expectation level at a certain thing is directly related to God's belief of how valuable that thing would be to us. So if God says, make every effort to grow spiritually, how do you think He feels about it? He's saying, guys, this is, if you want to pick anything to give your life to, if you want to pick anything to throw your energies in, if you want to, sure, career is important and all of those different things, but grow in godliness, grow spiritually. I think that's what He's saying. Now, oftentimes a trap, and I'll close out with this, what happens to me is thinking about making every effort is sometimes, once I've identified a certain area in my life that I want to grow in and that I want to develop and that I want to change, oftentimes happen is I would start off from the gun with great vigor. And I would throw the kitchen sink at it. I would go for it with everything I have. And a couple of months down the line, the same thing that I was trying to change keeps on popping up again. Sort of reoccurring. And what I've realized is that the problem with that is that I often miss the most important step, which is addressing my heart. Because if we start change with the outside, if we make every effort just to change our actions and our behaviors, but we forget the step of addressing our hearts, the change can never last. Spiritual growth and spiritual change cannot take root in your life if you neglect to address your heart. See, change has to start at the inside. Mark chapter 7, verse 20 to 22. Jesus, he says, he went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. See, I believe tonight, if you are struggling with a habitual weakness that's coming up over and over again, if you are struggling with reoccurring sin that you are battling to overcome, and boy, you know, it goes well for a week and then you're back in the same position and it just never changes, I think what I've learned is that that is often an indication of me going, making every effort, trying to change my actions and behaviors, but not addressing my heart. So what I want to say to you tonight, if that sort of explains your spiritual growth pattern, is to make sure that you address your heart. Is that you make sure that the change starts from the inside. That you clean the inside of the cup. I mean, that is what Jesus says. Start with the inside and the outside will be clean as well. Now, closing, brothers and sisters, I believe that tonight, you know, we are designed to grow. You know, we are, it is part of our fiber. It is part of our DNA makeup. It is natural and normal, not necessarily inevitable. But it is normal for us to grow. On top of that, boy, God desires you and I to grow spiritually. God desires with all of His heart. He has given us everything we need to be able to grow and mature the way that He believes that you can. To play the role that you can. But then I think we got to ask the question and figure out, what are some of the barriers for me? What are some of the obstacles? What are some of the rocks in the road? What are some of the things preventing my natural growth from taking place? Yeah, for me, it's hurry. You know, making sure that I'm ruthlessly eliminating hurry from my heart and my soul. Because if that's there, you cannot connect with God, which is a source of spiritual growth. And I think secondly, for me, it is not trying to change. It's not trying to grow, but it's making every effort as God does His part. So I pray tonight, maybe, you know, you've been able to connect to that. I pray that you'll start thinking about what are some of the barriers for me in my life. And how do I remove these barriers? Because if you do, I think growth, the way that we desire it is growth is a natural and normal thing to take place. Amen.